Y'all, this is episode 100. This also happens to be the month that I graduated nursing school 20 years ago. So for this special 100th episode, I thought I would sit down with you and share my not-so-secret sauce for how I still love nursing 20 years into this profession. I have learned so much through trial and error, and I hope to pass it on to you some pearls of wisdom that I've acquired in my 20 years. Hey there, I'm your host, Sarah Lorenzini, a rapid response nurse and educator who loves telling stories to teach critical thinking. This podcast is for nurses who want the knowledge, skills, and confidence to respond to any emergency. With almost 20 years of experience in the ER and critical care nursing, and a master's degree in nursing education, I have a lot of stories to share, and I love to nerd out and break down the pathophysiology, pharmacology, and nurses' role in emergencies. Stories bring learning to life. It is way easier to learn from and remember the stories that my colleagues and mentors have told me than anything I've read in a textbook. And that is why I made this podcast. Every episode is packed full of exactly what you need to know to handle whatever crisis that could arise on your shift. It's one thing to get the right answer on the test, but knowing how to detect when your patient is declining and what to do when your patient is crashing is what will make or break your day and might just save your patient's life. Before I dive in, I wanted to give a quick disclaimer. I do not want to downplay the lived experience of so many nurses who are hurting right now. If you are struggling right now with burnout, I want you to know that there is hope, but all the things that I'm about to share might not be the solution for you. A break might be the solution. I don't know what types of challenges you're facing, what type of toxic unit culture you might be stuck in, what type of oppressive leadership you might be under. I cannot nor will not tell you to stay in nursing if your soul needs a break. I don't want anyone to feel like there's any judgment from me if you're not as excited about being a nurse as I am, because nursing is hard, I know, especially the last 4 years. So if you need time to heal, take it. I am not a professional counselor or therapist. None of this is medical advice. But I have learned a thing or two over the years that have helped me build resiliency and helped me overcome the many challenges inherent in nursing and still be excited to show up to work almost every shift. So if you are interested in knowing what those things are, let me start by sharing what I did wrong first, because I did not start out with it figured out, honestly, nor do I still have it figured out. But here's what I did wrong the first couple of years. I was not good at saying no. I just had a hard time saying no to anybody. I wanted to be someone who said yes all the time. I also had no boundaries when it came to saying no for overtime. I worked 5, 6 days a week, 6-12s, because I had a hard time saying no and the department needed me. I was not good at prioritizing my physical health. I ate crap my first couple years as a nurse. I also didn't prioritize my mental health, my sleep time. I worked night shift, and so I would just not sleep at all so that I could still hang out with my friends who were on day shift schedules. I was also not good at sticking up for myself to the bullies, to the mean patients, to the tough families. There was so much that I did wrong the first couple of years. But there's also, fortunately, some things that I did right, which is how I think I didn't burn out early on. I've always been one to love to learn. And so I was just constantly studying outside of work, constantly trying to get more information, trying to keep it fresh. I did take time to prioritize connecting with patients. Even if the tasks were piling up, I always wanted to make sure I had that human connection with my patients. I sought out mentors early on to try to emulate what they were doing well. I joined committees, and I wanted to be a part of changing things for the better. And I also became a preceptor early on. I think that helped me really dive headfirst into learning more because I wanted to know my stuff since I was precepting. So when I look back over my 20-year career, hindsight makes it easy to see what has served me well and what has not. Here are some practices that I've implemented into my life that help me grow and thrive as a nurse. So I'm going to list them all out and then go back and explain each one of them in more detail. So advocate for yourself, celebrate your wins, keep challenging yourself to learn more, find someone to mentor you and someone you can mentor, and be a part of the change that you want to see in your department and healthcare as a whole. Okay, let's start with advocate for yourself. So what do I mean when I say that? Well, we're all really good at advocating for others, right? Like that just comes naturally. I will fight to the death to ensure that my patients get the care that they need. I will fight to ensure they get good sleep, to make sure they get their concerns heard. I will rally together the interdisciplinary team to get all the aspects of their care addressed. I ensure my patients are properly hydrated, that they have eaten, that they are clean, that they are peeing and they're pooping regularly, and I check in with them to make sure there's no other ways that I can be supporting them as they navigate their recovery. But I've not always been the best at affording myself that same amount of advocacy. Like I'd go to bed late, I'd wake up early, I would not pack a lunch, end up eating crap. My most common meal as a new grad for like probably 3 years was peanut butter and graham crackers from the nutrition room. I remember a very clear moment when I realized that I wasn't advocating for myself as well as I did for my patients. When I had recently returned from my first maternity leave, I was nursing my son, and I was struggling to find ways to squeeze in pump breaks amidst a busy shift as an ER nurse. I rarely pumped as often as I needed to, and I spent much of my shift just uncomfortable because I needed to pump, and then stressing at the end of the shift because I hadn't pumped enough while on shift. One day, I had a postpartum mom come into the ER as my patient, and when I found out that she was breastfeeding, I made calls and had to do a lot of coordinating to get her a breast pump and all the supplies to pump for her baby. And once I finally got her all set up to pump and store her milk for her baby that was at home, I realized that I was 3 hours overdue on pumping for my baby. And how ridiculous it was that I'd spent so much time doing all of this for her, even though it had nothing to do with why she came to the ER. And here I was neglecting my own needs. So something had to shift in how I viewed and prioritized my needs so that I could better care for other people. So not only did I need to advocate for my physical needs, but also my own mental health and wholeness. You know, I had mentioned that I had a hard time saying no when the department needed me. And when someone disrespected or took advantage of my kindness or my generosity, I just kind of suck it up and move on. But you know what? Like that starts to beat down on you after a while. So here's what I do now. When it comes to staff in the hospital, if I really want the overtime, say I'm saving up for something and I don't feel like it would be overly taxing on my body or on my mind to pick up that extra shift, then I say yes, with gratitude for the opportunity to earn extra money and help out my team. But if I don't feel that I have the bandwidth or I have something else planned, then I say no. Knowing that by saying no to an extra shift, I'm actually saying yes to something else. I'm saying yes to my own rest, to time with my own family, and to keeping my commitments. And I don't feel bad because what I'm saying yes to is important also. When it comes to advocating for myself with regards to how others treat me, like for patients and families, I don't tolerate abuse. And it starts with my introduction. I no longer say, "I'm Sarah and I'll be your nurse today," as if they own me or I'm some like paid laborer servant. Instead, I've learned to say, "I'm Sarah and I'll be the nurse caring for you today." And it's a subtle shift, but in my mind and my heart, there's a difference there. Like, I am here to provide care gladly, but I'm not here to provide 5-star hotel room service or be their punching bag for verbal assaults. When patients or their families are yelling or demanding, honestly, customer service is not the priority. Safe patient care is the priority. The customer is not always right in healthcare. I would say to the patient who is yelling at me or being rude, "Listen, I will always treat you with respect, and I ask for the same respect in return." Or, "That is not an appropriate way to speak to another human. Let's be clear, I am not your servant, I am a nurse." Or, "Just because you're feeling sick doesn't mean you have to be rude. Your cussing does not motivate the healthcare team to get you what you want any faster." You know, I just found that at the end of the day, I felt more drained when I spent the entire day trying to maintain the peace and appease people's outbursts and brush off their rudeness than whenever I stuck up for myself. When I stuck up for myself, I was proud of myself. And most often, patients' behavior changed too. And of course, there's always times when it did nothing, but I still felt less defeated knowing that I wasn't just taking the abuse, but calling it for what it was. When it comes to how I was treated by my coworkers, well, I have a whole episode about how to handle disrespectful members of the healthcare team and how to advocate when the provider is being rude or dismissive. It's episode number 38, if you wanted to check it out. Another aspect of advocating for yourself is taking time to process all the hard stuff and incorporating things into your life that fill your cup. So, what do I mean by that? Hey guys, I'll get back to the episode in just a second, but I wanted to pause to let you know that if you love my podcast but wish there were more of these awesome episodes, well, I have great news for you. There is more. My Rapid Response Academy is basically podcast 2.0, plus the huge added bonus of community. I love hosting this podcast, but it's just me recording into a microphone, often by myself. And this extroverted gal who loves to both teach and mentor nurses just wanted more. So in the community I created, I get to teach live every Friday and break down topics that I think every nurse needs to know, from deep dives into the pathophys of every emergency you can think of, to some of the heart of nursing topics as well, like how to advocate with confidence for your patient, how to de-escalate situations, how to deal with bullies on the unit, how to be an amazing preceptor and charge nurse, and some of the mindsets and boundaries that have helped me stay in nursing for the last 20 years, not burn out, and thrive at the bedside. I love the opportunity to answer your questions live, and it's such a joy to see nurses supporting each other in this community. So, if you're an acute care nurse that wants to expedite your growth as a nurse and invest in yourself so that you can provide the best care to your patients, you would love my Rapid Response Academy. So to learn more, I put a link in the show notes for you. Hope to see you there. When it comes to all the challenging stuff that I see at work, I need to take time to both process all of that and time to disconnect and recharge so that I can go back and face all of those challenges once again. I often drive home in complete silence, just to give myself space to think and process all that I just saw, to feel all the feels and work through the emotions of seeing so much suffering and sadness and pain and fear, anxiety and crisis for 12 hours. I also have certain people in my life that I know are a good sounding board for the extra difficult patient situations. I really rely heavily on my nursing friends because they just get it. My husband is genuinely the best human that I know, and he has so much empathy and is just the best listener, but he isn't a nurse. And sometimes you just need a nurse who knows what you go through to kind of bear the burden with you. And sometimes you need more than just a good friend. You need a trained counselor who can help you process and develop some healthy strategies for coping and resilience. So don't wait until you, quote, need a therapist to find a good one. And when it comes to filling your cup, what does that mean? Think about your capacity to care for others like a cup. And when the cup is full, you actually have something to give. You have compassion and kindness and generosity and patience. And when the cup is empty, you're tired and unmotivated, get easily annoyed, and have limited patience. So the question is, what fills your cup? If all you're ever doing is pouring out, giving all you have to your patients and your spouse, your children, and you never participate in activities that fill your cup, you will run dry. And running on empty burns up the engine. So take a moment to think about all the things that fill your cup. Like, what gives you life, rejuvenates you? What makes for a good day for you? I actually made a list for myself years ago, and I try to fit in those things into my month to ensure that my cup stays full so that I'm giving back to my patients and my family from a place of fullness, not scraping the bottom of the barrel. So here's some things on my list. Adventuring with my family, dancing with my husband, cooking, crocheting, sitting in a hammock, catching up with my sister, getting boba tea with my bestie, prayer and journaling, being by any body of water, like any pools, lakes, the river, the ocean, any body of water is great. Margaritas and chips and queso, so therapeutic. Holding babies, singing at the top of my lungs with the windows down, with the wind in my hair, snuggling my kiddos, the list goes on and on. When I find myself feeling like I'm running on empty, that's when I know I've been pouring out more than I've been filling up. And it's time to get up my list and go spend my time doing something that will fill my cup. So if you're working so much overtime that you don't have time for cup filling activities, I'm sorry to tell you, but it will catch up with you. Please give yourself a break and take some time off. If you find yourself spending all of your days off and any downtime just scrolling social media or binging movies or TV, well, that is a symptom, not a solution to how tired you are. So get out your list and go do something life-giving. If you won't do it for yourself, do it for your patients. They need you to be on your A-game and bring your best self to the bedside with every bit of compassion and hope and diligence that's required to do this job well. So take time to fill up so you don't run dry pouring out to your patients. And one more aspect of self-advocacy is celebrating your wins. I take time every shift to review what I did well, what I'm proud of, the impact that I made on that shift. Like when nursing is just tasks, it's just exhausting. But when you feel like the work you're doing is making a difference, well, then it becomes rewarding. I don't let a shift go by that I don't get a chance to connect with the patient on a human level. Then when I reflect back on my day, I think back to those human connections, those moments that I got to be a part of someone's recovery or even someone's death with dignity. And those are what I carry with me through the more challenging days, but the more difficult patient interactions that are maybe not quite as rewarding to care for. And sometimes it's not nursing specific interventions that are rewarding. It's like the other small stuff. Like just last week, I had a patient who was not improving on the BiPAP. He had lung cancer and COPD, and now he has COVID. He's in his 80s, and we had to intubate. And I knew that once he was intubated, he most likely would not recover. So before we intubated, I called his wife. I put her on speakerphone. I let her talk to him and gave him a chance to tell her that he loved her. I don't think that any of my actions for him were life-saving. I actually hated that we had to intubate him. But I went home feeling good about how his intubation went down. He got to call his wife. He got to hear her voice before the etomidate was administered. And she got to hear his before the endotracheal tube went in. And that is a win worth celebrating. Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit and talk about preventing burnout through continually staying challenged. I love learning. And there is something about learning new things that's so exciting. I get bored really easy. So I always need new challenges to overcome, a new skill to master, a new complex thing to figure out. And let me tell you, nursing offers an endless supply of those things. One thing that I've done well is always striving for more knowledge. I learned early on that the hospital was not going to provide me with the knowledge that I wanted or craved to ever get to where I felt like I was a master in my field. I was going to need to seek out knowledge outside to stay up to date and to continue my own professional development. I try to attend at least one nursing conference per year, and I take a couple of online courses, like outside of those required for my employment every year. I have been endlessly studying for something for the past 20 years, be it the next specialty certification or grad school or my next presentation, like from back in my professor days to speaking at conferences to teaching courses. And now it's weekly preparing for podcast episodes and for the live teachings that I do each week in Rapid Response Academy. I'm always studying for something, and it keeps me sharp. It keeps me excited to apply that knowledge and share it with others, and it helps me take the best care of my patients. So I know I'm preaching to the choir, telling podcast listeners how important it is to keep learning, even on your days off, because like obviously you are listening to me in your free time, but just keep going. It's worth the time you're investing into your professional development. And I actually just posted this week on Instagram a list of journals and podcasts and social media pages that I follow to help me stay up to date. So check it out if you want to find some more great sources to stay on top of your game. The next thing that has helped me still love nursing after all these years later is mentorship. Early on, I sought out mentors to pour into me. I found the nurses that I respected and looked up to and straight up asked them if they would mentor me. I would go to them with questions, and even after the fact, I'd review cases with them and see if I handled it well. I would watch how they interact with patients and families and the rest of the healthcare team and just try to emulate what I saw. There's this one nurse, Bonnie, who I've always just adored. She's just a little bit older than me, so she was like kind of fresh in the profession, and she was always just such a constant source of strength and encouragement for me. I knew if I needed anything, she'd be there. Even if she was working on the opposite side of the ER, Every time I asked her for something, she would say, "Absolutely." Everything was figure-outable for Bonnie. No task was too overwhelming. And I wanted to be that person that says absolutely to anything. To this day, I have intentionally emulated Bonnie's energy. And when someone says, "Hey, Sarah, can I ask a quick question?" "Absolutely." "Hey, Sarah, can you come lay eyes on my patient?" "Absolutely." "Hey, Sarah, I can't figure this thing out. Can you help fix it?" "Absolutely." "Sarah, I got a bad feeling about this patient. No one's listening. Can you take a look at them and tell me if you should be concerned?" "Absolutely." The takeaway here is, if you are new, find your Bonnie. And if you're no longer new, be a Bonnie for someone else. It is life-giving to give back to the profession. Find someone who needs your encouragement, your experience, and your support, and give it with Bonnie's same absolutely energy. I assure you that pouring out to the next generation will fill your cup too. And finally, so many things are broken in healthcare. Figure out what you are passionate about and be a part of changing that for the better. So for me, it's been seeing the educational gaps that nurses have when they graduate and wanting to equip nurses with knowledge so they can take better care of their patients. And for some of you, it's not education, it's advocacy, finding ways to fight for safe staffing. For others, it's speaking out and raising awareness about healthcare disparities and the injustice in healthcare. For others, it's making policy change at the local or national level that makes care safer for patients. For others, it's leading nurses and championing a positive unit culture. I mean, I could go on and on. But I do feel like one of the ways I've stayed enjoying nursing is by being involved in making change. Now, my amount of involvement has had its ebbs and flows depending on what's happening in my life at the time. Like some seasons have been heavy on the mom life and others have been, given me more time to get involved in unit practice council and other process change committees. But I like making a difference. Sometimes that difference happens at the bedside and sometimes it happens in a boardroom and sometimes it happens in the courtroom. I can't tell you what your thing needs to be because we all have different drives and motivations and callings in this world. But take time to figure out what yours is and pursue it with passion. It's freaking awesome when you start to see the needle move in the right direction for the thing that you've been fighting for. All right, let's wrap this up. Nursing, it's not easy. Let's be honest, it's actually hard. But 20 years in, and I still honestly love it. There are several things that I did as a new grad that I think if I continue in those habits, I would have burned out earlier on. I think what has kept me in the profession for this long is that I truly feel called to this work. It's not just a job for me. It's what I was meant to do. But even things that you're meant to do can burn you out if you aren't taking time to be intentional in how you approach them and how you care for yourself. It's hard to think about ourselves when so many of us are naturally inclined to care for others before ourselves. But our patients will get the best care when we are operating out of wholeness. So advocate for yourself so this job doesn't beat you down. Take time to fill your cup so you don't run dry pouring out to your patients. And take time to both process the hard stuff and celebrate your wins. If you're new, find a mentor. And if you've passed the new stage, well, find someone that you can give back to. But you still need mentors as well. Figure out what you're passionate about changing in healthcare, and find ways to be a part of that change. This profession has made me lose sleep and tears, and also made me laugh till my belly hurt and cry tears of joy. It has broken my heart and showed me some of the most beautiful aspects of humanity all in the same shift. I go home with aching feet and a full heart. It is both exhausting and life-giving, and I am so grateful that I made the decision to become a nurse. I hope you can learn from my mistakes and all of my hindsight acquired wisdom. And when you get to your 20-year mark, be able to look back and still love being a nurse as much as I do. Before you go, I just wanted to let you know that if you like this episode, you would probably like my course too. My 1-hour rapid response and rescue course is an introduction to how I approach emergencies. If you would like to learn to think, assess, and respond quickly when your patient is crashing, then you can check out my website, rapidresponseandrescue.com. And if you message me the word podcast on Instagram, I will send you a coupon code for $10 off the cost of the course. Oh, and did I mention that the course is approved by the AACN and worth one continuing education contact hour? So if you want to level up your emergency response skills and get one CE in the process, then this course is what you want. I put the link in the show notes for you. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you learned something that will save a life. Remember, nursing is a team sport, so trust your intuition and don't give up advocating until you are confident you've done what's right by your patient. The views and opinions expressed on this show are that of Sarah Lorenzini and hers alone. They are not intended as medical advice and should not take the place of your institution's policies or procedures. Evidence-based practice is ever-changing, and your patient care should reflect the current best practice. If you want to get in contact with Sarah, you can find her at rapidresponseandrescue.com or on social media platforms as TheRapidResponseRN.